Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier. I'm telling you something. November, what is it? September 24th, 2018. The Lord's not making another one like it. Thanks for coming in here and joining us today. Latest, Kavanaugh's got another woman now. Now another woman from college. So about 5 years later, he did the exact same thing to another woman at college. And my. Hey, folks, have anybody seen this play before? Anybody seen this run? It's time that we begin to really, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we really begin to research and understand exactly what's going on around us. I want to talk a little bit about that today, about the deception and how, God, you know, most people you come in contact with aren't saved. Do you really know that? I mean, do you really understand that? But most people, listen, folks, I'm telling you, church-going people. I'm starting to make people nervous because of things that I'm saying on the show. And I said, listen, I didn't mention you. I never mentioned you. Why does that bother you? I never said you. So, yeah, but I knew you were talking about what?
Conviction, Coach, conviction.
Whatever it is is going on. And, you know, I got some stories to tell you about. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there yet. Praise the Lord. Lord, just direct us here this morning. Jared, pull up our calendar real quick. I want to dive into some of this stuff. I'm sure it was important. Boy, I thank God for my children, man, grandchildren. Are they something? Those of you who don't have any, I grieve for you. Just watching the miracle, watching my little grandbabies grow up is... And how much they love their grandma and how much your grandma loves them. Hey, guys, listen, critical. First regional Ohio huddles coming up this Saturday in Bremen, Ohio. All the information that you need to know is right there. Now Lowell Morrison, who's Lowell's given us he has the property we're going to operate on. He's the one that's organized the huddle. He needs to know if you're going to come. You're going to come. Now, we can get 50 people at Chad's place. We ought to be able to get 50 people at Lowell's place. You can stay all night if you want to. You don't have to stay all night. It's up to you. Click on that for me real quick, Jared, so we can see what time this thing starts. Looks to me like it starts Saturday morning at noon. Saturday at noon. And it's going to run till 9 o'clock. And as I said, you want to stay all night, you can. If you want to go home afterwards, you can. You want to sleep in a sleeping bag, you can. And as Lowell said, you better look at these directions. If you're going to come, look at the directions and map it out, because this is going to be probably an area that will not have internet. So you can be driving with your GPS heading down the road, and all of a sudden you don't know where you are anymore. So map it out before you get there. And there, RSVP, you see it right there. Lowell needs to know. He wants to know by Wednesday.
Right. So we're going to have to Coach. Yeah, Lowell. It's critical that I email them the directions.
Okay.
GPS works down here, but it will take you to the wrong place. I live in one of those spots that the government must not know about yet, because it always sends people to another place about 4 miles away. So
cool.
I'll mail you the directions like the old way, you know, start here and turn left, turn right, turn north, turn south, so many miles, and you'll wind up. It's on the end, a dead end road. Okay.
Okay, good.
So it takes a good scout to find us.
Now, Lowell, if they're not there at noon, that's okay.
Yeah, it's going to be like a fair. There's going to be lots of things going on, and you know, it's not going to be like a show. It's just we're going to have different things going on pretty much all day, and you can take part in anything or nothing, and sit and talk, and you know, it'll be fun.
It's the fellowship that's important, right?
Exactly.
So Lowell's got the schedule on there. Come on, man. If you're within a couple hours, get over there, will you? Get over there. You don't have to stay. You can leave anytime you want. He says 9 o'clock bonfire, Saturday evening prayer service in the old way, barbecue Saturday evening. Sunday we're gonna have breakfast, light breakfast and coffee, then this church service, and then we'll get out of there. And everything's right there on that. Okay. We're looking forward to it, Lowell. God bless you. We're doing it. Folks, come in. I'm telling you, the fellowship will be like you can't even believe, as these things always are. Jared, go back to the schedule then, if you can. Hey, folks, you're going to have to put some skin in the game. You can listen to the show all you want to. You get some skin in the game. And that means driving a couple hours out of your way, messing up your day, you had something else planned. October 3rd, then we're doing the first regional huddle in Oskaloosa, Iowa. All this information is available, all right? Denny Bryan's the one who's going to be your contact. That's all there. October 3rd, we're going to have a regional huddle. October 10th, I don't have this one on the schedule yet. The reason I don't have it on the schedule, I'm going to be back in Iowa on October 10th. But I don't have it on the schedule because I don't really know if it's a huddle type situation or if you're out there and you'd like to be part of it. So I just emailed Bob and I'll get some more details on it. I haven't put anything up on there yet because I don't know. October 13th, Regional Texas Salt Light Assembly. Moody Chad's having another one. October 13th at his place. You want to get down there to that? Then if you missed it, last one, catch this one. This stuff's all available there. Yes, Bremen, Ohio, is east of Lancaster. Yes. October 3rd, 17th, Marshfield, Wisconsin, Church Arise Conference. If you're anyways near there, get there. And if you can't make it to Marshfield, then a Friday and Saturday, we're in Milwaukee, earnestly contending for the faith in Milwaukee. All right, we're getting around, man. We're waking up and raising up people. Then November 3rd, the first regional huddles in Hellertown, PA. At the American Legion there, that's available, and all your contact information is down there, as you see. The 10th of November, we're going to be in a regional huddle at Tulsa, Oklahoma, and still working on some details there. We'll see what's going to happen there because it's another event that we're working towards. So there it is, man. There it is. Come and join us. Yeah, we travel a lot. Try not to let any grass grow under our feet. It's important for us to get out there and meet all of you, and we want to help you put on a huddle right where you live. As I said, November, December, things wind down a little bit. January, February already, we'd like to come to where you are. We'd love to come. So somebody step up, grab the bull by the horns, as they say, and let's get something going, a regional event right where you live. Anybody want to jump in here? David, how did things go yesterday at Pastor Mike Spaulding's church? Pastor Mike's probably in here too. How'd that go?
That was amazing. And the fellowship afterwards was amazing. And just being able to present residue and for, you know, being the first time presenting residue, it actually showed me all of the little details that I'm going to have to really work out first for the program. But, you know, it's the beginning, and I'm just so thankful that he offered me the platform. I actually, Brian couldn't leave his job. He works at a plant or something. So there was no worship music in the beginning, and so he's like, so we'll probably be out of here really early. And so I started about 10:20, and I think I finished up at just before noon. And
wow.
I looked at the clock, I was like, wow, it's noon and nobody's looking at their watch ready to go. it was a blessing. It really was. It was a blessing.
Pastor Mike, what was your take on that? But I see you're in here as well. I don't know if you can get in, or maybe you're
yeah. Up. Hi, Coach. Morning, hey, everyone. Yeah, it was great. The thing that I appreciated was the fact that broaching this subject in the assembly of the believers is something that needs to happen across America.
Hmm.
And as David was presenting this, shared a little bit of his testimony, and I was sitting there praising the Lord for David, but praising the Lord for these people that God has gathered, that it, not only are they interested in hearing this, but they're going to take it to their families and friends. There was even questions afterwards. How do we do this? How do we approach this? Which told me that they were starting to integrate this into their own lives, their own experiences, and they were ready to take this information forward and share it with other people. And so it was a glorious time. And so thank you again, David.
Pastor Mike, you're a, you are a, I'm trying to think of the denomination you're part. I'm sorry, my brain went dead on me. Thank you, Calvary Chapel. Pastor Mike, this is pretty normal biblical stuff, isn't it? I mean, this isn't tinfoil hat stuff out of the ether zone, isn't it? Isn't this where you cut up your steak and peel your potatoes? Isn't that really what David's talking about?
It really is, and I made that point after David was done, Coach. I stood up and I read a couple of passages, one from 1 Corinthians, one from 2 Corinthians, and I reminded people, listen, the Apostle Paul said that these types of people will not inherit the kingdom of God unless they turn from their sin and they become new creations in Christ Jesus. Then everything has passed away. David is a walking, talking, biblical illustration of the scriptures. We shouldn't be uncomfortable by this, and we shouldn't buy the Kool-Aid that the culture is telling us about this. It is not normal. It is abnormal behavior, and we need to push back against it. Every church should be pushing back against it.
Amen, brother. But can't, like I like to say, Pastor Mike, you can't teach what you don't know, and you right. can't teach what you haven't done. That's so right. what we're seeing is, you know, the scriptures tell us that we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, but we are, aren't we, Pastor Mike? The average person is really, really ignorant of it.
I'm sorry, Coach, what was that?
The average Christian is very, very ignorant of Satan's devices and don't understand his weapons.
Oh, man.
Don't have any idea how to fight this thing, right?
Well, yeah, they are. And their first problem is they don't want to hear anything about this. They want to go in. They want to have their marshmallow sermons. They want to have the warm fuzzies when they leave. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to hear about anything that's going on in the world today. And then when things go south, they're scratching their head wondering, how did this happen? It's because you've had your head stuck in the sand for so long, you don't know what's happening. Wake up, Christian
Amen.
America.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Thanks, Mike, because you just led, Pastor Mike, you just led me into something that I really want to talk about today. And, you know, sometimes I rant and rave like I did on Friday, which, by the way, we deserved it. It was all good. I don't care what anybody else said. I don't care. You know, I went to I'm going to be careful how I say this because I don't know who's watching, although I don't care. Is the Holy Spirit emanating off of you? Is the Spirit of truth enveloping you? So what do you mean? So I went to a party on Saturday night. My wife and I did. We went to a gathering where I know a lot of people, and the people know me, and some people there didn't know. I went to the party just like anybody else would go. I had on pants and a sweatshirt. I didn't wear my hat. People know who I am. I mean, they know who I am. They know me as the coach, but can I tell you what they really know me as? A crazy guy, that religious guy, right? That's what they know me. No, hang on. It's churchgoers. Some of them are churchgoers. But when I'm at the party, I realize this, most people aren't. Most people, I don't care if they go to church. They're not believers, okay? Now, the most unbelievable thing happened to me, and I just want to throw this out there, because look, when I came home, I told my wife, who I love more than any, what a precious woman she is. I said, you know what, honey, as we're driving home, I said, I just wanted to go grab a hold of a microphone and just give the gospel. I wonder how many people there have never really heard the gospel. And then I began to go down through it, and I said, well, that one's heard. He's rejected it. Yeah, he's rejected. Nah, he's never heard it. Oh, he's heard a form of it. Yeah, he's heard some preach. He's never heard. I went down the list, and most people have never heard the gospel of the kingdom of God. Most of them have never heard. And I was grieved because the whole time there, I wanted to grab a hold of a bullhorn and call people to repentance. But there's also the thing about casting your pearl before swine. And so I wasn't at liberty to do it. And I wasn't at liberty to do it because, well, for a lot of reasons. Hey, listen, I'm never afraid. I'm never intimidated. Wasn't anything about that. I know this. I know when the Holy Spirit's unleashed in me. And okay, and it wasn't unleashed in me. Now, the most unbelievable thing happened as we're getting ready to go. I'm standing right, standing in a garage doorway. It's nice, beautiful sunset. Everything's beautiful. And a guy comes up to me, and I kind of watched him. He circles around, and he goes over, and he gets a beer out of the keg, pours a beer out of the keg. I'm watching him. I'm talking to somebody, like I'm talking to you guys. This guy's doing this over here, and I look over, and I watch him. He does that. Then he looks at me. He kind of circles around, and I'm still talking, but I'm feeling this guy moving. You know, I just know something. You know somebody would say something to you. So he moves on around, and the next thing I know, he's behind me. He comes back around and he's standing right here. And finally, you know, I turn around and says, "Hey, Tim," that wasn't his name. "Hey, Tim, how you doing?" He says, "Doing good, coach." And he hands me a cup that he just poured out of the tap. You know what he said to me? He said, "A cold beer is proof that Jesus loves us." And he walked away. And I thought, was that a rebuke? Was that an encouragement? Why would, of all the people there, why would they come and hand me a beer and say, "Lord, that is really, really weird"? And then somebody told me Benjamin Franklin said that. Originally, I didn't know that, but anybody got a bead on that? What is it? I noticed this, okay? Michelle will attest to this. I make people nervous. I wasn't there wearing my Jesus gear. I wasn't there preaching the gospel. I was there hanging out, talking to people, eating. I was doing what everybody else does. And what was it? What is it that makes those kind of things happen to me? Very, very, very small talk with me. As I told you, I don't do small talk well. I'm heading somewhere, hanging with me. Anybody have a beat on that? What is it about? Are people nervous around you? Do people talk? It's just me. They talk to me and they're friendly and I'm friendly to them and I don't mention Jesus. I don't mention sin and I don't say anything. And they are so nervous. They can't wait to get away. It almost make you feel paranoid. Almost would. But I don't like
it. Well, you should feel paranoid, brother. There's nothing wrong with you. There's something wrong with them. That's why they're quaking in their boots in your presence.
It's conviction of the Holy Spirit.
First
thought, demons recognize the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Period.
Wow.
Right? Mm-hmm. Next thing is, I remember going to my grandmother's house. She's no longer with us, but she was one of the most holy people I've ever known in my life. And you acted different. You were different in her presence. We're all that way when we're around somebody that we perceive is more holy than we are. And I don't know if it's an appropriate reaction, but I think that people with the Spirit bring it out in other people.
Hey, man, you know what told me? Listen, I'm the best kept secret here where I live. Nobody knows what I do. Nobody, I'm just telling you, they don't. Except they do. They do. And so it told me this, that they do know what I do, but they don't know what I do. And every one of them is a spirit, man. It's a spirit. You're right. Convicting spirit upon me.
It's a manifestation of their guilt in front of you, so they're nervous.
Yeah, I think that too. And you understand. I'm not saying you guys understand. I'm just one of the guys there. I'm just one of the guys. I've known these people my whole life. Oh, they're so nervous around me.
But it's their reflection of their own guilt. And there, so that it causes some nervous anxiety when they're around you. If I could, right quick, Coach, I got to go see President Trump Friday in Springfield. And in the process of going to see President Trump, me and my wife got to march down about 300 feet of demon infestation. and it was quite wild. It was you could see these people are demon possessed. There's maybe 300 or 400 protesters there. There was over 30,000 people in line to go see President Trump. There were 10,000 people that actually got to get in there, but we had to do it like a perp walk right in front of all these heathens, and it was quite daunting. It was kind of like what you dealt with in the gay parades and the thing over in Washington D.C. right after Trump was inaugurated. I also wanted to mention real quick, you were talking about some events at Faith and New Hope Church, October 6th, Saturday, October 6th. We're having a Freedom from Addiction rally in which we have got Faith and New Hope Church and five other little congregations that are all coming together to celebrate freedom from addictions. And it's a rally and revival. We're going to have about six speakers. I get to speak, and PJ Hutchison gets to speak, and pastors from these other churches. And if you're anywhere close to Joplin, Missouri, on October 6th, make your way to Faith and New Hope Church. It's going to be an awesome event.
Good work, Kevin. Appreciate your work out there. Listen, the Lord's leading me to do a little bit of teaching here today. Is it okay if I do? I'm sure it is. It's my show. But I think this is so important. As I said coming at the beginning of the show, there's another accuser that's come out against Brett Kavanaugh now. Of course, she's also has no witnesses. We see how the game is played, right? We see how this game is played. And the truth is, we better learn to fight back. We better learn to play to win. And we don't know how to. We don't. Church won't play to win. Church. You know, I was at. I won't go back in that. I got some things to show you. Hey, Jared, bring up the crisis left. There's some of you out there, it grieves me, who still don't believe the spirit realm is real. Still don't believe it. Or you believe it's real, but you don't believe that it's actively involved in what's going on. And see, you don't understand that the left, which is the Christless left, they're committed to death for their king. And we're not. And they are. See, one of the reasons that they delayed the Kavanaugh hearings was to find someone else to make an accusation. And now they've done it. And I'm going to ask you this right now. Take Donald Trump out of the picture. Can somebody for me name right now one strong, uncompromising leader in America? Give me one. I'll wait. Male. One strong, uncompromising male leader in America.
Jim Jordan.
No. Okay. Boom. One. Give me another one.
Franklin Graham.
By the way, Jim Jordan's unknown to most of America.
Yeah.
He's unknown to him. Right? Franklin Graham. To a degree. Pardon me?
Roy Moore.
Yeah, but he's not a leader. Right?
Matt Gaetz.
I get you. Let me rephrase. Okay. Let me rephrase this. Governmental leader.
Yeah.
How do these
just one male. I ain't taking any crap, leader. Just one.
Right.
Go ahead, Jared.
What is compromise? I mean, you know, what is compromise? Guess what compromise is? It's taking these things seriously. That's compromise. As soon as you take it seriously, you've lost!
Oh, you mean the accusations?
Yeah, just the entire premise, all of it. It should be words running into a wall, this crap. It should be, okay, no, I don't believe accusations. No, I don't.
That's where I'm heading, okay? That's where I'm heading. I'm still waiting for one male, strong male.
What about Rand Paul? No?
Sort of, no. Dan Fisher. Let me rephrase it. One strong male Christian, overtly Christian leader.
Oh,
gotcha. Dan Fisher.
He ain't a leader. He ran. He didn't get elected. Give me another one. Give me somebody in a position of authority.
Dave?
Yeah.
I've got a long list, so sit back. Now, this list only comes out on Sunday morning.
Okay. It's
active in a church.
All right.
And it's only presented to men and women sitting in a chair. So, ready?
All right. Yeah.
Sunday morning, baby, in the safe zone, everybody's a leader.
Everybody's a leader and everybody's strong, and that's right. Okay, now hang on, time out. Can somebody name one on the devil's team? Anybody name a strong male leader on the devil's team?
George Soros.
Give me another one.
Coach Chuck Schumer, Kristen Gillibrand.
Come on, keep him coming. Nancy Pelosi. Keep him coming. Keith
Ellison.
You said
man. Maxine Walter.
See, that's where I'm heading, because on the other side, we better understand the agenda is being controlled by the women.
Yeah, it is.
Right? Yeah. The only strong male leader I can think of is Michelle Obama.
She's not a leader anymore, Larry. She's not a leader anymore.
She may be.
She may be. You guys get what I'm saying, right? You get. Oh, see, this is a spirit, folks. This is a spirit. Bold men, the righteous are as bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Jared, pull up the Christless left. This was written by Dennis Prager. Wrote this. The left destroys everything they touch. Everything the left touch. Now, not liberals. The left. Now, Dennis wrote this back in 2013. It's called The Midas Touch and the Leftist Touch. But I just want you to think about this, okay? Name the institution or the value transformation by the left and the institution of value. Dennis says, you let the left get in control of it, and it destroys it. Every institution you can think of that the left gets in control of, it destroys. The left is anti-Christ destructive. The left, not liberals, the left, okay? The left. Okay, here's a partial list. Education. What has the left done to education? What have they done to it? I'm not going to read this. Just what has the left done to education? Next one.
Destroy.
What's the left done to art and music? Huh? Government,
the post office, everything the left touches, and it is a government. And it's in our public schools. And now it's even in our pulpits. Everything they touch is destroyed, perverted, twisted, and made evil.
Why? The environmental laws. Keep going. Let's go down through this list. I had someone at the party said to me, what about Trump canceling all those environmental treaties? What? The Chinese had no environmental laws. No environmental laws in India. What's wrong with you? The culture. The left has destroyed the culture. They've destroyed the military. Amen? They've destroyed all of California. The left has destroyed Black America.
Hey, Coach.
What?
Do you think the left is doing what the church should have been doing?
Well, they're taking over what the church used to have. Every one of these. Hey, Paul, wasn't during slavery, weren't Black slaves spiritual? Isn't that all that kept them alive?
Yep.
When they came out of this, oh my goodness. Anymore? Yep. How about the economy? The left's destroyed it. Mm-hmm. What about the relationship between men and women? The left has destroyed it.
Coach, every big city that is run by the left, the Democratic, they are broke, poverty, murder rate skyrocketing across America.
Okay, but David, we have to help them see it's not
Democrats. It's the left.
Yeah.
It's the God-hating left. There are good Democrats who are totally and completely blind. The left has destroyed God and religion. Now, they haven't destroyed God, but you get the point, right? You get
this, well, the problem right? is the righteous are supposed to be as bold as a lion, and they're not. They're laying over, weak-minded. And I used this as my illustration this week about the Kavanaugh situation. I asked him, how many people enjoy reading their Bible? How many love reading the Pauline epistles? Yet this guy was an accomplice to murder and the chief himself of all sinners. I said, get over it, people. That's what he was. He is no more.
Amen. If he even did it, right? If he even did it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
It's kind of an analogy of what happened to Kavanaugh. It's like a running back in football goes through a hole. He's going through really well, and all of a sudden somebody slows him up enough for some other people to come and pound on him. And that's, I think, what they're doing is they're just waiting for more. I bet you there'll be more that come out.
Well,
I'll give you a better football analogy. It's like when your offensive line engages the first lineman, and the whistle hasn't blown, and they stop blocking for the runner, and then the runner gets cremated by the linebackers.
Yeah.
They're unwilling to fight to the end.
We don't fight at all. Not just to the end. We do not fight at all. And so say, Coach, how can this possibly happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. it's time that you guys get your eyes open and understand playing church inside our churches is not going to get the job done. It is not going to get it done. It's just not.
I just got a real quick football analogy to pitch in. Jesus is our quarterback. He is on the field playing. He came down. He showed us. Guess what we are? We're supposed to be the blockers and the offense. He's the only guy on the field. He's getting cremated. You know, Jesus is getting cremated in the public. That's the problem, is no one standing up for him.
You guys, you're not reading the right Bible. Now listen.
That's right.
Listen. When Jesus walked this earth, man, he went out to the little villages and went into everybody's home. He did not engage the culture. Now let's get it right.
That's right. That's right. All right. Now don't forget this. Seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. The Christless left wants to destroy everything Christian. Everything associated with Christianity, they want to destroy. All right, that's the battle that's going on. So say, Coach, what the heck's that? Well, I'm going to introduce you, if you don't already know, to the Jezebel spirit, which is what this, see, well, Jared pulled up there. It's the first one, just says Jezebel. God question. What is the Jezebel spirit? Now, I would wager most of you listening right now have no idea the story of Jezebel, Ahab, and Jehu. Most people right here don't even know what it is, right? So here's the answer. What's the Jezebel spirit? I'm weird. I believe the dark side is real. I believe the dark side is active. I believe the dark side is doing everything they can to serve their father, the devil. I believe it.
It's a spirit of seduction.
I believe that there's the Holy Spirit who wants to empower us to fight back against this dark spirit. That's what I believe. I believe that spirit manifests itself in many different ways. I believe it's vile and evil and wicked, and I believe it's the job of the church to fight and kill that spirit, not escape it, not go to heaven without dying. I don't think that's it. There's a variety of opinions about what constitutes a Jezebel spirit. Everyone from sexual looseness in women, boy, that would be one, wouldn't it? The teaching of false doctrine by a man or a woman. The Bible does not mention a Jezebel spirit, although it has plenty to say about Jezebel herself. Jezebel's story is found in 1 and 2 Kings. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Tyre and Sidon, and priest of the cult of Baal, a cruel, sensuous, and revolting false god to worship
involved sexual degradation and lewdness. Ahab, who was the king of Israel, married into this stinking family, if you can believe that. He marries Jezebel, who's the daughter of Ethbaal, king of this cult, and led the nation into Baal worship, devil worship. Ahab and Jezebel's reign over Israel is one of the saddest chapters in the history of God's people. But there are two incidents in the life of Jezebel that characterize her and may define what is meant by the Jezebel spirit. One trait is her obsessive passion for domineering and controlling others, especially in the spiritual realm. When she became king, she began a relentless campaign to rid Israel. When she became first lady, she began a relentless campaign to rid America of all evidences of Yahweh worship. She ordered the extermination of all the prophets of the Lord and replaced their actions with those of Baal. Her strongest enemy was Elijah, who demanded a contest on Mount Carmel between the powers of Israel's God and the powers of Jezebel and the priest Baal. Of course, God won, but despite hearing of the miraculous power of the Lord, Jezebel refused to repent and swore on her gods that she would pursue evil relentlessly and take his own life. Elijah. Her stubborn refusal to see and submit to the power of the living God would lead her to a hideous end, which that's where Jehu comes in. But the second incident involves a righteous man named Naboth, who refused to sell to Jezebel land according to the Sam blocked off of him. Let's see if I can get rid of this. I can't see the whole pitch screen. Come on, get out of there. Yeah, there it is. The second involves a righteous man named Jeboth who refused to sell to Ahab. Ahab was the king. Jezebel was his wife. Jezebel had no power. Refused to sell to Ahab the adjoining land adjoining the palace, rightly declaring to sell his inheritance would be against the Lord's command. Think about this now. Christian America selling America to God's enemy. All right? And rightly declaring to sell his inheritance would be against the Lord's command. While Ahab sulked and fumed on his bed, Jezebel taunted and ridiculed him for his weakness. Remember when I was talking about the coach at Ohio State University and how women taunt and call you names and make you feel small? But Jezebel did. And fumed on his bed, taunted and ridiculed him for his weakness, and then proceeded to have the innocent Naboth framed and stoned to death. Anybody say Judge Moore? Can anybody say Clarence Thomas? Oh. Naboth's sons were also stoned to death, so there would be no heirs. Wow. I'd preach right there. And the land would revert to the possession of the king.
Hey, such Coach.
Such a single-minded determination to have one's way, no matter who is destroyed in the process, is a characteristic of the Jezebel spirit. Yeah, Paul, go ahead.
I was just saying that's a characteristic of what our governments do today, eminent domain.
Right? Amen. So infamous was Jezebel's sexual immorality. Think about this women's march. Think about this. There's a spirit over us, fellas. An idol worship that the Lord himself refers to her in a warning to the church at Thyatira in Revelation 22, 18 through 29. Can you click on that real quick, Jared? Look at that. And to the church and to the angel of the church in Thyatira. By the way, angel, spirit, world, huh? Right. The words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. Maybe you got to click on that, Jared, so it'll open. There you go. Thank you, man. I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance. He's speaking to the church. And that your latter works succeeded the first. But I have this against you, church. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is to teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality, the food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of
her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. But the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I don't lay on you any other burden. You're not responsible for it. Only hold fast and only hold fast what you have until I come. Speaking of the church, hang on to this place. The one who conquers and who keeps my works. Wait a minute, Roger. The one who conquers? One who conquers? Keeps my works until the end. To him, I will give authority over the nations. And he will rule them with an iron rod. As when earthen pots are broken in peace, and even as I myself have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. But you ask yourself this, is America, good, let's go back, Jared, go back. Have we fallen to the Jezebel spirit? Oh, some of you don't even believe it. Most likely referring to a woman in the church who influenced it the way Jezebel influenced Israel to idolatry and sexual immorality. Jesus declares to the Thyatirans that she is not to be tolerated. I know Jesus loved everybody. Don't tolerate that woman, he said. Whoever this woman was, like Jezebel, she refuses to repent of her immorality and her false teachings, and her fate was sealed. Lord Jesus cast her onto a sick bed along with those who committed adultery with her. The end of those who succumb to a Jezebel spirit is always death and destruction, both in the physical and the spiritual sense. Perhaps the best way to define Jezebel spirit is to say it characterizes anyone who acts in the same manner as Jezebel did, engaging in immorality, idolatry, false teaching, and unrepentant sin. Beyond that is to engage in conjecture and can possibly lead to false accusations and divisiveness within the body of Christ. I got more. Somebody want to come in here?
What I love about the story of Jezebel, that Jay, mm-hmm. who not only orders for Jezebel to be thrown down, brother, he wasn't done with that. It wasn't like, all right, let's have a parade. He then commands, he says, I want you to gather all the Baal worshipers and bring them to the temple. And when he got them all inside, he looked at his men. He said, now, don't let one of them come out of here alive. Brother, there has to be a cleansing in the house.
Dale, I'm on page 3 and you're on page 82.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I think
that's all right.
Hey, didn't Jehu yell up the window and say, hey, who's with me? But, you know, here's the interesting thing. Yesterday, Karina and I attended a church where the pastor spoke about this. And here's the thing he said. He said, you know, the problem is that we have the Jezebel spirit in the church. And because of sexual immorality, pornography, it's ruining the impact of the church on the culture. Yeah. Man, I'm going to send it to you, Coach. It was really, okay. It was really good.
Jared, let's go to God questions. God for Jezebel. No, that, you just did that. I'm sorry, Jared. Go to characteristics. I'm sorry, bud. Characteristics. I'll play that in a second. You ain't going to hear this anywhere. Not going to hear this anywhere. And as we're doing this, guys, I know we're all thinking about the church, and the church is the problem, no doubt about it. What the heck's this? Not absolutely. Pull that up there, Jared. There it is. Okay, here we go. I want you to think about government here, okay? By the way, Jezebel doesn't have to be a woman. But here's characteristics of Jezebel. And as we read down through these, you think about what's going on. Now that they've accused, hey, they didn't accuse Brett Kavanaugh of homosexuality, did they? They didn't accuse him of stealing. No. They accused him of being mean to a woman again. Women, mean to women.
Hey, Coach, let me comment on this.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, if he was a homosexual, now everything would have been okay.
Yeah. They'd be pushing him, right? He'd be he would be honorable then, right?
Yes, guys, he would.
Don't miss the Jezebel here. Don't miss the Jezebel here, right? Right?
Yeah,
think how they're hammering us with feminism. Think of it. Scroll down, Jared. Characteristic of a Jezebel spirit. Keep on going down, Jared. Here it is. Number one. They refuse to admit guilt or that they're wrong. There's about 30 of these. Look at what's going on the left. I'm talking about the left today, the God, Christless left. Two, they take credit for everything. Look at what Obama took credit for the economy. Three, Jezebel spirit uses people to accomplish her agenda. Look what's going on. Hey, by the way, the Holy Spirit uses people too. Number four, it withholds information. Hey guys, have you noticed we can't get any information from the FBI, CIA? We can't get any information from them. Understand this? Jezebel's threatened by the prophetic ministry. That's why I had to get rid of Judge Moore. Tried to cut him off between the legs. He did something to girls 40 years ago. Jezebel volunteers for everything because she wants to get in the middle of it and eventually take control of it. Yes.
Here's for anything. Where have all the men's groups gone? Guess what? They let women in, and now they're destroyed.
Amen. 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 Jezebel spirit lies. Person of Jezebel spirit, even person of Jezebel spirit will lie even when they don't have to. Number eight, Jezebel spirit ignores people. All about the agenda, destroys people. They don't care. Doesn't matter. Nine, never gives credit or shows gratitude. Jezebel spirit. Number 10, criticizes everyone. One-upmanship. 12, spiritualizes everything. When a controller is confronted, he commonly spiritualizes the situation and says, you have a problem, I don't have it. Are you noticing the left now is using the Bible? Jezebel on the left is now using the Bible to promote. Again, they appeal to our senses, right? So, yeah, well, the Bible says that you should love those immigrants. Number 13, she's insubordinate. The Jezebel spirit's insubordinate. Look what's going on around Donald Trump in the White House. Huh? The Jezebel spirit's pushy and domineering. Chuck Schumer. He uses the element of surprise, except I wasn't surprised they came up with another woman. That's what I said, that why they were delaying it. They were looking wherever they could find another credible person who could tell a lie about it. Jezebel spirit sows seeds of discord. Commands attention. Wow. Nancy Pelosi, Hillary. It's vengeful. Woo! Attempts to make you look like you're the one sowing the discord. Look what they're doing to Trump. It insinuates disapproval. Jezebel will often imply disapproval to those under his or her control. The control person feels no freedom. See, the Jezebel spirit doesn't compliment. It controls you by putting you down. The Jezebel spirit knows it all. 21, Jared. It's ambitious. Wow. Is this unbelievable? Gift giving. A person with a Jezebel spirit loves to give gifts because it's how it wiggles its way in. 23. It's independent. No one has input into Jezebel's life. You think they tell Nancy Pelosi what to do? They can tell Hillary what to do? The Jezebel spirit is religious. It dwells in a local church and doesn't like authority. Jezebel spirit hides. Wants people to believe that a person with Jezebel spirit is delivered. The person may seem normal for a period until the right moment, and then they strike. Okay, there it is. 25 characteristics of a Jezebel spirit. Somebody come on in here. Nobody come in? Yeah.
I found something, though. Have you ever seen
Hang on, Jared, go to 2 Kings 9:30. Because 2 Kings 9:30. Go ahead, Vinny. I'm sorry.
No worries. Have you ever seen the logo for the Fabian Society?
I probably have, but I haven't thought about it.
The logo for the Fabian Society is a wolf wrapped in a sheep's clothing.
Mm-hmm. So, guys, remember this. The Jezebel spirit usurps power that it doesn't have. Ahab was the king. Anytime you have a Jezebel, there has to be an Ahab. Right? You look. I saw the other day here Charles Grassley. I don't know if you saw this. Charles Grassley, who is head of the judicial committee, said, "Huh, it sure seems to me." He says, "I'm normally very, very strong, but it sure seems to me like Chuck Schumer's running this committee." Well, there you are. There it is, seizing power that it doesn't have. And the Jezebel spirit can only operate and be effective when there is a weak male, a weak leader that it's dealing with. You seen the picture here? So 2 Kings 9:30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. She heard Jehu, some no-nonsense guy showed up. She painted her face, tired her head, and looked out at the window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Has Zimri peace? Who slew his master?" And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who's on my side?" Jehu said. "That's what you said, Dale. Who's on my side?" "Who?" Jehu said. "Who's on my side?" He looked out unto him, two or three eunuchs. What's a eunuch? What's a eunuch? Somebody don't have no stones, right?
Oof.
So Jehu says, "Who's with me?" And just two, three eunuchs said they are. And he said, "All right, throw her down." Didn't say, give her the gospel, lead her to Jesus. Give her the four spiritual laws. See, it's a spirit. You can't lead a spirit to Christ.
Not only that, the horses stomped all over her.
And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and they trod all over her. And when he was come in, he did eat and drink. He came in, celebrated, had a party after he did it. He said, "Go, see now this witch, huh? Go check her out, will you, boys? And you bury her." But she was a king's daughter at one point. You go bury her. You give her a proper burial. So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Dogs ate her. Wild animals ate her. Wherefore they came again and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel. And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, this is..." She didn't have no gravestone, boys. So ultimately, this battle that we're facing, that we're all seeing right now, not a battle between the... It's not a political battle, see? When will the church wake up and realize this is not a political battle? It's not. It's a spiritual battle. And that the only one who can oppose this demonic spirit is the church. Or how about this? A committed Jehu with a couple, three guys around him and don't even have any stones. One guy under the anointing of God's able to do it. Yeah, Dale.
You know where you find Jehu Jezebel manifesting herself the greatly is when there is a strong male presence of authority like a Jehu, like a Donald Trump. Why is it all of a sudden now we're seeing this manifestation like never before? Because Donald Trump,
they want Kavanaugh's authority. Can't you see it? They want his authority. They don't care about him. They want his authority. Good, Dale. I cut you off.
No, Coach, this is good stuff. I'm just telling you. And then there's the cleansing that comes to the church and that wicked spirit that has been in those temples in that day where they begin to worship all the Baals. brother, God's got to clean this house up because we got the church doing the same thing. We practice abortion. We practice wickedness even within our walls of our church.
Now, you know, Coach, going back up to where it talked about the two eunuchs and then getting trod under underfoot, it wasn't the horse's feet that trod her. It was
Jehu.
I can just picture him doing the Watusi right on top of her.
I mean, I'm with you, buddy. I am Googling something. I want you guys to see that. I'm trying to find this real quick. Yeah, this is it. Hey, Jared, I got to send this to you. This is what I see in the spirit, okay?
I'm
sending this to you right now, Jared. Yes, whoever just said that.
Verse 37, imagine having a group of pictures of all of these women like Hillary and Maxine Waters and just all of them with verse 37.
That's it, isn't it? Isn't it? Did you sure? You tell me that Hillary didn't usurp the power of Bill? You tell me that he wasn't an Ahab? He's out dingling anything he could? I want you guys to see this. Jared, I just sent it to you. I hope you can pull it up there.
But some to make people think and associate all of these women, and they match exactly what you taught today.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Now, guys, I want you to watch this. This is the one of the most – Tiger Woods won yesterday. Tiger Woods won. First time in 5 years. Jared, see if you can pull down the beginning of this video as you watch the crowd run to Tiger Woods. Oh, I hope this shows it. The world is looking for a Jehu. They're looking for somebody that will lead. They're sick of it. Oh, Jared, I sent you the wrong one. Maybe this is it. Is it a video, Jared? See if you can Google it real quick. I want people to see the massive crowd that comes swarming in to be around Tiger Woods. He's been dead for 5 years. Church has been dead. Church has been dead. People are waiting for the church to rise. Where is it? It says mob scene. Doesn't it say crowd mobs? Yeah, but we don't need 5 minutes of it, though. Scroll a little bit farther ahead, Jared. They'd never seen anything like it. They said they'd never seen anything like it on the PGA Tour as Tiger raises from the dead.
Oh, you know, it's prophetic. Think about that. Here's a man they thought was dead.
The church!
It was unbelievable as they swarmed towards him.
I wish I could find a better... it's amazing. There's a better picture of it there, Jared. We're running out of time. We're not going to be able to see it. They can't, you know, they have those ropes they keep everybody in. No. People stormed the ropes. They came over the hills like ants.
Showing that, you think that's kind of a prophetic sign of what the church should be doing?
That's the church arise, our champion arise. Rise from the dead, O church. Rise from the dead. Slay them. What did it say in Revelation? And you've tolerated this Jezebel. You've tolerated. Church has tolerated it. Men are cowardly. Men are unafraid.
That's good.
Try that one, Jared. I want you guys to see this. It's amazing how the people come swarming in.
Down.
Comeback in golf, if not in sports. But I'll tell you what, today you couldn't tell this huge throng that this comeback isn't almost as special. Good shot. This way, we'll leave it again underneath the hole. Go right to left here.
Unbelievable. Rise, O men of God! Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. See, Jezebel has been telling us she's in power. She's in power. No, she isn't. No, she isn't. Rise up, oh men of God. Somebody's got to call it out for what it is, man. Huh? Somebody's got to call it out. Come on, man. Come on, man. Jehu did it with two or three people that didn't even have any stones. We're at a critical time in American history. Right now, will men of God arise? God bless you. See you tomorrow.